Let's finish our Bible study from this morning. I'm going to read again the passage of the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke and the second chapter. And we'll make some comments as we go through this time and remind you of some of the things that we shared in our message this morning. And then we'll bring the message to a close. From Luke chapter 2, I can find my place here. Reading verses 1 through 20. Luke writes and says, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city." We made the points out of this passage this morning about the impeccable timing of God. These verses of Scripture describe for us three men, and they pinpoint the time of the birth of the Savior. In Herod, and Augustus, and in Quirinius, these three men, their ministry or their service overlaps at about 4 to 5 B.C. So we have a pretty good idea of when Jesus was born. And as the Scripture tells us in the book of Galatians, it was at just the right time God sent Jesus into the world. You know, Israel had been waiting for a Savior for thousands of years. From the very beginning, from the fall of man in the garden, God had promised to send a Savior who would redeem us from sin, save our souls, forgive us, and bring us back into relationship with God. And for thousands of years they had waited, and just at the right time, God sent His Son. And it tells us that the timing of the Lord is always just right. And we made the point out of that today, that the timing of the Lord for the issues of our life come just when God wants them to come. Things don't happen on our timetable. They're never fast enough for us. But they do happen on God's timetable. And God's timing is always perfect. Sometimes God is wanting to work something in us before He does something for us. And sometimes that's the reason for the delay. Something that we probably don't think about is that sometimes the issues that God is dealing with, even where our lives are concerned, probably concerns other people. And so there's a whole lot of things going on that God is having to deal with in order to bring His perfect will to pass in our life. It's not just about us. It's about everybody else that's related to us and associated with us. But God's timing is always perfect. Verse 4, "Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David." We didn't point out this morning, but there it is once again, the reference to the fact that Joseph is a descendant of King David. And being the legal father of the Lord Jesus, it means that Jesus is also going to be of the house of David, just as prophecies described Messiah being the son of David. It tells us here that he went up to the house of David, to Bethlehem, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We made the point this morning about Bethlehem, and we read the Scripture for you during our time of singing this evening, that Micah describes Bethlehem as a city of insignificance. As a city back in Jesus' day, it's about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, and less than 1,000 people are there. And so most people don't know anything about this city. Today, of course, everybody knows about Bethlehem. The reason that we know about Bethlehem is because Jesus was born there. And it's a beautiful picture to me of how Jesus makes a difference in the situations of life. Because of Jesus, Bethlehem, which was insignificant, became very significant, very important. And in the same way, when Jesus comes into our heart, even though we may feel so insignificant, we may feel like nothing, we may feel like we're nobody and have nothing to offer, when Jesus comes into our life, we become somebodies for God. And we become people who can make a difference because we can be different by the presence of the Lord dwelling within us. We saw the picture of the reason why Jesus came in the picture of Bethlehem where he was born. The scriptures told us there that there was no room in the inn, and so Mary and Joseph had to go where they kept the animals, whether it's a stable or barn, a cave or wherever. And in that place of stench and filth and dirt and all of these things, this is where Jesus was born. Verse 8 tells us that it was at night when the angels came to sing to the shepherds and announce the birth. And so that tells us too of something, of the picture of the world into which Jesus was born. Because you see, darkness and stench and filth are biblical symbols of sin. The Bible tells us that it's in a world that is engulfed in sin and engulfed in darkness that Jesus comes to be the light of the world, to be the Savior to the world, to forgive us of our sins, and to make us holy in His likeness and in His image. Reading further in verse 8, in that region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." We heard the simple message of the angels this morning. The Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. Go and see for yourself. Go and check Him out. And we talked about how the message of evangelism for you and I is a simple message. We simply declare to the world, the Savior has been born. We're all sinners. We all need salvation. We need someone to come and to bring forgiveness to our lives so that we can go to heaven to be with God when this life is over. And that one who has come is the Lord Jesus Christ. And our message is, the Savior has come. Check Him out. Come and see for yourself. It's a simple message that the angels had. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Unto you. We closed this morning with that point. We say in our time that Jesus is the reason for the season, and He certainly is. This time is the time we celebrate the birth of the Savior when He came into the world. But we remember also that not only is this the season of celebrating Jesus, but this season exists because of you and me. Jesus came to save us. And therefore, we are the reason for the season. We are the reason our Lord and Savior has come to us. And then we looked at these shepherds for a few moments today. We made the point that these shepherds are likely shepherds who are tending a very special flock at that place. Because you see, in the hills outside of Bethlehem, Bethlehem again just a few miles south of Jerusalem, in the hills outside of Bethlehem is where the sheep that would be used for the sacrifice in the temple, it's where they were kept. It's where they were watched. And so these shepherds are likely shepherds who are watching the sheep that will be sacrificed and the temple. We shared with you this morning how when a new lamb was born, the shepherds would take the lamb, and in order to be sure that he didn't injure himself in any way, so that he remained perfect and remained qualified to be a sacrifice in the temple, they would take that lamb and they would wrap this lamb with cloths. They would swaddle this lamb to keep him safe and to help be sure that he remains perfect for the sacrifice. And so the picture then that we see of these shepherds coming to Bethlehem and coming to the stable and seeing Jesus laying in that trough, in that feeding trough, in that manger, seeing him swaddled as a newborn, they are seeing the Lamb of God who has come to be the Savior of the world. Just a few more thoughts this evening, if I might, about these shepherds, and let me read the rest of the story for you. Verse 15 through 20. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which was told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Four things I want to share with you tonight, just very briefly, about these shepherds and the picture of faith that they are, because they illustrate real Bible faith. First thing I want to share with you is this. When they hear the good news, they embrace what they've heard. And as a result of hearing and embracing what they hear, they go to seek out this baby who has been born. They put their faith into action, in other words. James tells us that faith without actions is not a saving faith, but real faith will produce a corresponding action. When the angel said, "Come and see," these shepherds went and saw. And then the scripture tells us that when they went, there was great enthusiasm. They were excited and they rushed off to find this infant that had been born there. This enthusiasm, to me, is another one of the fruits of an individual who has really come to know the Lord Jesus Christ with genuine faith. How can we possibly have real faith and not be excited about God? And not be excited about our forgiveness? And excited about the life that has been given to us? In fact, the very word enthusiasm, do you know where it comes from? The word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words, en, meaning in, and theos, meaning God. Enthusiasm means somebody who is in God. Somebody who has encountered God. Somebody who knows the Lord. They'll get excited because of what God has done in their life. And then the text tells us that their lives are transformed having met Jesus. When the angel first shows up, freaks them out. The Bible says they are greatly, terribly frightened by what they see. But by the end of the story, they're celebrating with great joy. Their lives are transformed from great fear to great joy because of their encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the fourth thing I want to share with you is the last picture that we see of these shepherds, the last picture of real faith, and it's this. Once they heard about Jesus and met the Lord for themselves, they went out and they told others of everything that they had seen and everything that they had heard. In other words, they themselves became witnesses for Jesus Christ. Often in the scriptures you read about people who encounter Jesus and they have a life-changing encounter with the Lord. Something dramatic happens in their life and they can't help but rush off and tell somebody about what Jesus has done for them. And these shepherds have been changed. Look, outwardly, there's no difference. They're still shepherds. They got to go back and tend those sheep. But inwardly, change has taken place. They are new people on the inside because of their encounter with the Lord. And because of what's happened, they can't help but to go out and tell others about the Lord. I want you to hear this. This is fascinating to me. This, to me, is another one of those pictures of God's sense of humor. Because in Bible days, and I shared a little bit about this with you this morning, shepherds were a very low class of people in their generation, in their day. They themselves were very insignificant. Often, people that were shepherds were people of little or no personal reputation of any kind of their own. And often, because of the kind of people they were, listen to this, because of the kind of people they were, people that couldn't be trusted, people that couldn't be relied on, couldn't be counted on, often their testimony wasn't even accepted in the courts of Israel. They couldn't witness before the courts of Israel. And yet they became Jesus' first witnesses, taking the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere they went. That's ironic, isn't it? And their message is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we receive, we are supposed to share. What we hear, we are supposed to tell others. In fact, we picture that great truth every Christmas Eve when we gather together for our candlelight service. The candle that you see lit before you, this big candle represents to us tonight the Lord Jesus Christ. And from this candle, one candle will be lit. And because this candle is lit, another candle will be lit. And then another, and then another, and then another. And from this one light, the light will spread. And it's the picture of how you and I are supposed to spread the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. So it's good that we're here, but it's not enough that we're here. From here, we're to go out and tell the world, Christ the Savior is born. Amen. And so we're going to close our service tonight with a candlelight service. If I might, briefly, before Becky comes to sing, just a word of instruction. Remember that as the lit candle comes to you, the lit candle needs to stay straight up. You tilt the unlit candle into the lit one so that you don't tilt the lit one and spill wax all over everything, okay? One more word of instruction, and please, I beg of you, this is for the ladies. Ladies, please, please watch your children and your husbands so that they don't play in the wax, all right? Thank you very much. Dear, would you come and sing?